This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Watley on KLZ 560.
Good afternoon and welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today. My name is Scott Watley, and we are glad you are with us. We have two outstanding guests today, and then one third guest. Dan Muir joins me in studio.
You know, it's been like a month since I've been in the studio. It's great to be back. Thanks for asking me to come
on,
Scott.
It's good to see you, buddy.
It's great to be here.
All right. And our first guest today in our first half of our show, we are really glad to have Casper Stockholm in studio. And I don't think we've ever done a show together. I always pass you in the hall.
Yeah, yeah.
And, but you're on Rush to Reason quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And but I saw Casper at the Trump rally in Colorado Springs, which seems like 10 years ago
it
now.
It seems like decades ago, doesn't it? Whole world seems totally different than it was just 3-4 weeks ago.
Yeah, it's because it is.
It's totally different.
Son.
Yeah. But when are we all going to wake up from this nightmare? That's what I want to know.
I know. I mean, it's just, you feel like you're just walking around, you go into places, you know, that you have to go, and, you just feel like you're in this movie, this Twilight Zone or something.
Really strange.
Yeah.
I know we're going to get pinched, we're going to wake up, and we're going to get back to the roaring economy that we had, and life was good. This is
nuts. if we want to get back to that economy, we need to do it now, because 30 days from now, it's going to be, you know, if you think this is bad, 30 days of this.
Yeah,
I don't think we can survive it.
I think it's shown us how little control, one, you have over your life, and even if you own a business, you know, that.
Yeah.
And, unfortunately, a lot of us, you know, maybe hadn't saved as much as we should have through the years, and all of a sudden you're a little bit older, and then all of a sudden, man, I can't go very long like this.
Yeah, yeah.
No,
I drive for Uber and Lyft, and, you know, Dan has well, and I signed up for DoorDash. And DoorDash is kind of busy, depends on the time of the day that you do it. So I have to change my schedule now because I was driving at night, and DoorDash at night is dead. So you have to do it during the day. Life has been upended, you know, for a lot of folks.
Maybe we should just give out y'all's number. Hey, if you would like personal service.
Wish it worked like that. Dan. It just doesn't work like that.
Yes, I don't know how you do it, Dan. So, if you're worried about, you know, getting exposed to something, how do you do
Uber? I haven't driven Uber or Lyft in 2 weeks.
What I was going to ask you guys. That's my next question. With Uber and Lyft and all that, you don't know who you're picking up.
With the family and all that and me being the primary breadwinner, first of all, I just couldn't take the chance of getting exposed like that. And the last Uber trip I gave, the guy insisted on sitting up front, and then he sneezed the whole time. And it was just like, I'm done. I wiped down the car. I said, I'm done.
Dude, I'd have pulled over and said, sir, here's $20.
Yeah, it was like I completely freaked out. I thought, you know, if you're going to do this, at least cover your mouth, sit in the back seat.
Yeah.
You know, but the guy acted like there was nothing going on.
Oh.
And it was just like, no, this is insane. So like Casper, I've taken up DoorDash.
Yeah.
My wife had been doing it for quite a while. And so we're pretty much doing that now. Mm-hmm. And it's keeping us fed, which is good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that is a good point, man. You know, most of us eat out quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Don't stop that. Go get
for sure
food. Help these, you know, help our restaurants and local businesses order online, what you got to do. But, I mean, man, to support any local business that you can now is huge.
Yeah. I still drive every night. I drove last night. I don't know. I guess, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with being super, super precautious. I think that's great. But I don't know. I don't live in that world. Mm-hmm. I mean, I live in a world to where I'm cautious, but not.
Yeah, you try to be smart.
Try to be smart about
it. You got to have some normalcy.
Yeah.
Or I go crazy.
If I didn't have DoorDash right now, I'd go nuts. The other thing of it is if we didn't have DoorDash, I would probably be doing Uber and Lyft, but I wouldn't let the family in the car.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, right now we do DoorDash as a family, so we're all in the car together.
If you'd have got a truck like I told you, you could have him get in the back.
Should have done. Pick up. Hey, you're in the back.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right, Casper, let's talk a little bit about your profession and what's going on with you here in our political arena in Colorado.
Yeah, yeah. So I made a big switch here almost a month ago now, I was running in CD6 and had a primary situation going on with Steve House. And I think I was doing well. I knew I was going to get on the ballot, but it's still going to be a huge fight. To make a long story short, the folks from CD7 reached out to me. CD7 is more Jefferson County, Adams County. And they asked me, would I be interested in running in 7? And I said, not really, because I'm doing 6. But Corona hit, and all my fundraising plans just went completely out, you know, just done, right? You know, but they said they could help me and stuff, and we could ramp back up in 7. And as long as we can mount an effective campaign in 7, and what I mean by that is if the state party supports the campaign, if eventually the national, you know, the NRCC supports the campaign, we can mount a campaign to really go after Perlmutter and win. But it has to be support coming from all these different avenues. So I reached out to Ken Buck. He thought it was a good idea. Not super on the huge support side, but he definitely liked the idea, and he did what he could do. And then I talked to Steve House, of course, and he was happier because now, sure, instead of us being opponents, you know, we could work together. So we worked out an arrangement. We did a joint press release. We came out with that about a month ago, and since then it's been really good. You know, I can't really complain. Steve has been very gracious and helping me in areas and stuff. Fundraising is a huge part of any political campaign, and Steve is a master at fundraising, so I've been learning a lot already from him. So other than this whole virus thing that's going on, I think we are going to mount a very effective campaign against Perlmutter. Now, the challenge is, during this kind of crisis, incumbents are even stronger than they normally are, because they're the ones in front of the press saying, oh, yeah, you know, I'm going to get you plugged into this service and that. And I can't do that I could try, but I wouldn't be near as effective as a Crow and a Perlmutter right now in this environment. So that's going to be a challenge.
It's going to be a challenge, but I also think it can work to your benefit, especially if he starts going along with everything that Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer are proposing all the time.
Right.
I mean, people have got to be really upset that they can't go to the chiropractor,
right,
but you can go get an abortion.
This is absurd. You can go to the liquor store and you can go to the marijuana dispensary.
That's right.
In fact, you could tell the cop when he pulls you over, I'm headed to go get some drugs right now.
Yeah. Can I get you anything?
Get a police escort. Yeah.
So you know, that's what we're doing. Now we have a really fun event we're planning on the 11th of April. It's going to be online. So we've got Kim Munson is going to be the MC.
Oh, fantastic.
Albert Guillory is going to call in. Laura Carno is going to call in.
Okay, to explain who Albert Guillory is.
So Albert Guillory is he's a Louisiana senator that about 8 years ago, he switched from the Democrat Party to the Republican Party. And he did a video that went viral.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
And he's been a supporter of mine ever since I met him about 6 years ago at the Western Conservative Summit. So he's spoken at the summit many times. He's spoken at CPAC and other organizations. He's been on Fox News and all that. So he's a celebrity of sorts in the political arena. So he's going to be speaking. Laura Carno, Derek Wilburn, Heidi Gnault, C.L. Bryant, who has actually moved here to Colorado.
Yes.
Karen Cataline, myself, and Steve House. So we're all going to be.
Okay, fantastic. We mentioned Laura Carno. Who's Laura Carno, and tell us why we'd want to listen to her?
Laura, she has a organization called, I think it's Faster Colorado, Faster Colorado. They do training for schools and institutions that want to kind of secure their environment. So they do the faster training for the teachers and people that work in the schools to harden the schools, but not in a wall way, but in a way to train their employees how to deal with crisis situations. So she does that around the state, I guess around the country.
Yeah, she's written some very, very good books. Yeah. She wrote one about how the government's always stealing. Every time there's a government plan, it turns out to be a catastrophe. I wish I could remember the name of the book. But
ruins just about everything.
Yes, that's right. And we're going to get a first-hand look at that here coming up.
Oh, nice.
Even though, you know, the Trump administration is doing what they can, unfortunately, they still have to work with the Democrats, and the Democrats, they're just...
Yeah.
They're spending like they've got... printing presses that are just unlimited with the amount of money they can print or digitize.
Well, and I don't see a way, even by printing money, I don't see a way out of this other than us starting the economy back up. I don't see how we can't stimulus our way back to, you know, where we need to get to. We have to get back to work. Mm-hmm. That's the engine that drives America. That's the engine that provides the tax money so government can do some things.
Sure.
But, you know, without that engine going, no tax money happens, and not just America falls. A lot of other countries that depend on us fall as well.
Yep. So how do you see this? How do you guys even see them reopening this? Do you think they'll do it by counties that, you know, once the numbers kind of go down in a certain county, they'll say, okay, you can open your restaurants, and are they going to go back full swing? And just because, dude, they'll be packed.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the way people are.
I think here in Colorado, we're going to be we're in trouble in the sense that we have a Democrat governor, and I don't see them doing it county by county. They like to do things, you know, like this broad stroke and shut everything down or open everything back up.
I guess we can just see what California does, and that's what we'll do.
That's what we'll do.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, but I think it's going to be state by state. You're going to see governors stepping up, trying things, trying to get their states open back up. Some governors right now are still resisting closing down.
Yeah, Florida, it hit my phone a little ago.
Yeah.
A little while ago, he shut down now for the stay-at-home order for the whole state.
Right. Yeah. And see, what he should have done was what that doctor was talking about and what I've heard a lot of people talking about, what Sweden is doing and other countries, is that protect the vulnerable, first and foremost. Protect our elderly and so forth. For anybody that has pre-existing conditions that would be a challenge for this particular virus, let's isolate them in a way that they are protected. But the healthy of us, of society, we need to be able to still continue to work because we got to keep this thing going, right? So we can practice safe distancing and all this stuff. You know, that doctor, Fauci,
right.
He had an interview in 2009 talking about H1N1. And everything he said is exactly what he's saying now, except for he never talked about back then. He never talked about shutting things down. He just said, hey, look, just be safe. Wash your hands, you know, use hand sanitizer, keep a safe distance. If you feel sick, stay home, all those kind of things. He never once mentioned shut everything down. And that's what's going to get us in a huge trouble right now. And people are going to say, well, you know, you just want people to die. No, I don't want anybody to die. But at the end of the day, we have to be smart about this because if our economy goes, more than 2 million people are going to die. Tens of millions of people are going to be suffering and die.
Yep. So. Casper Stockholm is our guest. Dan Muir is also in studio. If you've got any questions, give us a call or comments even, 303-477-5600. And I just pre-taped an interview we're going to play on Friday with a doctor out of Garland, Texas. And he said, you know what? He said, the next big thing is going to be the mental illness, the depression.
There are stats out there that talk about the number of suicides related to unemployment lines.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this thing is far beyond just what the coronavirus itself is going to cause. Yeah.
And that was happening in a strong economy. Mm-hmm. Monday morning, you know, is the day that a lot of suicides happen because, you know, the stress of not being able to pay your bills and all these kind of things. Well, today's the first of the month, guys. A lot of folks aren't going to be able to pay rent. And a lot of landlords are not going to be able to pay their mortgages. And over time, this thing is going to snowball into something that we are not going to be able to come back.
Dude, it don't take long. I mean, it doesn't have to take 6 months. I mean, most of us, a month, month and a half, we're
look what's happened in two weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, last week, over 3 million people filed unemployment claims. That's never happened before in the history of the country.
Right.
Ever.
Right.
Hmm.
The largest one was back in the 80s, I believe, and that was 600,000 people.
Right.
That was the largest one next to this one.
Yeah. I was talking to a business guy yesterday, and he goes, he said, you know, nobody wants anybody to die. He goes, but hey, if I don't work, I'm dead anyway.
Well,
he goes, you know, I can't do anything for my family. I can't do anything. So he said, you know, I realize, hey, I'm an adult. I'm taking that chance of, you know, running my business.
But. Yeah. You can't tell me that the American ingenuity, the spirit of America, there's no way that we can figure this out, how we can continue to keep this engine rolling. Now, granted, it won't be at 100%, but at 75% or something like that, you know, to where we can keep this thing going so we can maintain through this time period, you know. And the way these viruses work, and I'm no expert on this, but the way these things work is a certain amount of population gets exposed to it, starts to build up antibodies and immunities to, you know, the virus. Whether we have vaccinations or not, this just naturally happens. But then there's also a second wave. You know, there's that second bump, you know, that comes in, what, April, September time frame. August, September time frame. Okay, well, we have all been sequestered in our homes for all this time. So, quote, unquote, not being exposed. So now we're going to be exposed to the second wave, or we're going to have to stay in our homes. So now we're talking about 6 months? Mm-hmm. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Absolutely. I mean, I would have never, I mean, if I'd had $1 million, I'd have bet it 4 weeks ago, we wouldn't be where we are today.
You and me both.
Yeah. Speaking of betting, when my $1,200 comes in, I'm putting it in the stock market. Because if we do survive, the stock market is going to climb. And
well, you know, there's some historical precedents for this. In the, I believe it was the Spanish flu of 1918. Mm-hmm. Guys, what happened 2 years later? Now, the Spanish flu wiped out a lot of people, devastated the economy. What happened 2 years later? We had the Roaring Twenties.
Right.
You had an economic boom, mm-hmm. you know, similar to the one we just got out of.
Right.
And so these things do turn around, and economies can come back.
Sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. You're listening to a special edition here of Haystack Help Radio. Glad to have Dan Muir in studio with us, Casper Stockholm. We'll come back. We're going to tell you about a special event coming up. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Scott Watley with just a reminder that our friends at Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center are still open Monday through Saturday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. For your convenience, they are now providing special curbside service to help make it easier for you to help meet your pet's needs. This is for appointments and other medical services, as well as for grooming and boarding and food product purchases. To check in for appointments, grooming, and boarding, simply call when you arrive and a staff member will come out and assist you. For checkouts, pet food products, and prescriptions, call when you arrive, pay over the phone, and a staff member will bring your pet and your receipt out to you. No doubt this is a difficult time for all of us, but at Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, it is their passion and professional commitment to help your pets live their best lives. Call now, 303-708-8050. That's 303-708-8050, or visit LoneTreeVet.com.
Take aim. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager all-in-one loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Have you been considering an RV, or are you looking for a place that will help you keep your RV in top condition? Let me tell you about my friends at Cousins RV. They've got three convenient locations to serve you in Loveland, Wheat Ridge, and Colorado Springs, which includes full parts and service departments at all three locations. Cousins RV is locally owned and operated by Jim Humble and Drew Bryant with over 40 years in the RV industry. Cousins RV offers the top manufacturers in the industry, and they have a huge selection of pre-owned RVs at every price point. Service is key at Cousins RV, and they can handle any repair, even offering a mobile RV service. Hey, we all know accidents can happen, and at Cousins RV, they have their own collision center with a paint booth to fit the largest of RVs. Come to the place that has the best Google reviews from any RV dealer in Colorado and ranks number one in customer satisfaction. Owners Jim and Drew are on site daily. Be sure and let them know you heard about them here on Haystack Help Radio.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, today at 3. Now back to Haystack Help Radio.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for being with us. If you're just getting in the car, hopefully you're an essential person to be in your car. Dan, how's it
I'm just trying to get a Darth Vader mask.
You're not essential.
I want a Darth Vader mask. You know, I want to go around like that.
Cool.
What do you think? Absolutely. I'd go back to driving Uber and Lyft then. If I had the Darth Vader mask, I'd do it.
One of the things they say, they're going to be teaching all the kids in school now. It's like how to have an essential job.
Essential right. job. That's right.
Essential job. Yeah.
Well, it's amazing how many people aren't essential.
Mm-hmm.
And it's even more amazing how many people aren't essential that are part of the government. The other thing I really like about this, too, is that people are going to find out that my son is done with all of his schoolwork by noon every day.
Wow.
Every day. He's doing everything online.
Yeah.
So do we really need these brick-and-mortar schools anymore? Do we really need the school unions? Do we need all of this stuff anymore?
Yeah, I've heard that.
I think you're going to see some efficiencies. I had Dr. Stedman on yesterday, and they're doing this telehealth kind of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So patient calls. Now, he's a chiropractor, so some of the things you can't do, adjustments up. Right. A lot of these are in functional medicine and dealing with them. So a lot of times that patient just wants to see the doctor and talk to him and get an update.
Yeah.
And, man, they're seeing it being way more convenient, way more cost-effective.
I think the best thing we can do for our personal health is to build up our immune system. So I have my little drink here. It looks very nasty, but it tastes great. And it's got vitamin C
in
there.
I've got my Butterfinger Blizzard out there.
You
know, but we need to build up our immune systems. That's something that, you know, we can control.
No, you're 100% right.
It's our health and stuff. So.
Yeah. All right. You got an event coming up. Tell us all about it.
So we have a Congressional District 7 Reagan Day event. It's kind of like a Lincoln Day event, only it's online, right? So we're going to be talking about American freedom, and it's going to be a very timely topic right now. So we've got MC is Kim Munson, Elbert Guillory is going to be there, Laura Carno, Derek Wilburn, Heidi Gnault, C.L. Bryant, Karen Cataline, myself, and my former opponent, now friend, Steve House. So we're going to be on there for about 3 hours. Each speaker is going to get about 15, 20 minutes to speak. So it's going to move really quick. We're also going to highlight all of the CD7 and Jefferson and Adams County candidates. So we're going to give them a minute, you know, to speak, because the goal is to raise some money. Right now, a lot of candidates aren't raising money. So our goal is to raise $50,000 respectively for the different campaigns and give them some much-needed exposure, because in the world of politics, you know, we're used to shaking hands and kissing babies and doing all that stuff. We can't do any of that right now. So this is a way to get exposure for the candidates, of course, for my campaign as well, but also to talk about American freedom, which is something we're not talking about right now. We're talking about our lack of freedom, our lack of mobility, all these different things. So this is happening on the 11th of April. It's a Saturday from 10 to 1. It's going to move very fast. I would suggest if you're homeschooling that you have your kids watch it, because
that's a good idea.
Yeah. We're going to be talking about American freedom. We're going to have some videos from Reagan playing as well. It's going to be a fun family event. Order some pizza. Order some. You do some DoorDash going on.
Do some DoorDash.
Some DoorDash from your local restaurant.
303.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Exactly. So, it's just going to be a really fun event.
So how do people go on to let's give this.
That's a great question.
Yeah.
So you can get more information from my website. That's casper4colorado.com. That's F-O-R. Colorado.com. You can also go to Facebook. Just do a search for Casper for Colorado. We have an event page set up right now.
Okay.
We're still working out the details on how people will connect. We're looking at YouTube. We're looking at some other online streaming services. But we want to make it so it's super accessible. You just basically click on a link and you're there. We don't want them to have to sign up and do all that stuff. So just stay tuned, because we'll have all that information. Before this week is out, we'll have the link that they can click on to just go straight to the event. But we've got a little bit of time, so we've got about a week and a half or so, you know, to promote this before it happens.
Good. So what do you guys think about, I heard today coming in that, I forgot the name of the group, but they're wanting to stop, tell the networks to stop covering Trump's.
Yeah.
Oh, the Democrat Party?
Yeah.
Is that the name of the group?
Yeah.
That's the group.
It was some particular group under that name, in quotes. But because they're saying, hey, it's just his, you know, that's his way to do his political rally right now. Mm-hmm. Is that? And I tell you, when you watch that, I'm a Trump supporter and, you know, I wouldn't want anybody else doing this right now but him.
It's nothing like a Trump rally.
Trust me, if you've been to one, it's nothing like a Trump rally.
No, it's not. Here's the catch-22. So if he wasn't having daily press briefings, they'd be criticizing him for that.
Yeah.
And no matter what he does as far as the mainstream media is concerned, it's wrong.
Yeah.
And especially, they are a branch of the Democrat Party. There's no question about it. So when I said the Democrats, I meant that sincerely. Yeah.
Right.
The Democrats want him to stop. His ratings are better than anybody else's out there right now. And quite frankly, he's handling this like a businessman would.
Right.
He's delegating things off to people with expertise. Mm-hmm. He's sounding like he's really got things under control. The best that you can have in a situation like this. And quite frankly, they can't stand it.
Yeah. Right.
And then you look at what they're offering Joe Biden right now. That's the only thing they're offering? My gosh, the guy...
Can you imagine that press conference?
Oh, holy cow. Have you seen any of his blogs, his video podcast things? It's like, you got to be kidding me. This is the best they got?
Yeah, yeah. No, the reason why they don't like it is because they're Trump is becoming very successful at answering the questions. And it's working for him. It's not working for them. If they were able to do a bunch of gotcha questions and trip him up or whatever, then they would want.
And you can tell.
And they want to continue.
You could close your eyes and not even see who stands up to give the way they ask the question.
Yeah, yeah. You know, but he's. Somebody said today that they feel that he's been able to get them to start asking real questions now. Even Jim Acosta from CNN asking real questions as opposed to these. You know, well, you said last week that we weren't going to have this, and now we have it. You know, what do you think now? Like, really?
Yeah.
This thing is evolving on a daily basis. So, yeah, you know, we want to get people back to work, but, you know, we also want to keep people safe. So we have to, you know, figure that out.
Well, and the approval rating of the press by the American people is really low.
Yeah.
And they're starting to see this. I mean, the American people are now watching. They're going, is the press against us? Or what are they doing here?
Yeah.
And, dude, for him to come out there hour and a half, 2 hours.
2 hours.
Every
yesterday was 2 hours.
Day.
Yeah.
And go through this. I mean,
but you know, but that's where he lives. He lives in that environment.
Sure.
I mean, you know, that's.
Oh, he eats, sleeps, drinks this, so to speak.
Yeah, he
loves it.
Absolutely.
He tweets in the middle of the night. That's fantastic.
So, Casper, how can people help you?
So right now, all the candidates need help. I know people are preoccupied with the COVID-19 and all that stuff. I call it the Wuhan virus, really, because that's what it came from.
That's what it is.
That's what it is. Right? So all candidates need help, but we need campaign volunteers. We've got a lot of calls we have to make now. We got a lot of mailings we have to do. So there's a lot of campaign work that needs to be done right now. Of course, we need donations to keep the campaign running. I need to hire more staff. I need to be able to eventually open up an office, all those kind of things. I had purchased thousands of dollars worth of marketing materials for CD6 for the assembly. We were going to have meet and greets, fundraisers. We're going to have a great time. Elbert Guillory is going to come in town. All that got canceled. But now I have marketing materials for CD6, right? So now I got to get all new marketing materials for CD7. All that costs money. So they can go to Casper for Colorado. That's FOR, CasperForColorado.com. Just donate what you can, $5, $10, whatever.
Good. You can hang with us here for Greg Lopez?
Yep.
All right. Mm-hmm. Folks, don't go anywhere. Greg Lopez for governor in 2022.
The man.
Coming up next.
The hard part of my job is getting the case ready for trial. The really fun part of my job is going to trial.
Call the personal injury attorney who enjoys going to trial, Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law.
The thing that people need to do when they're talking with lawyers about trials, ask the lawyer that they're talking to whether they like to go to trial or not.
Although most personal injury cases settle outside of the courtroom, you want an attorney who stands ready to represent you at trial.
The reason that we say trial tested, trial ready is because we do enough cases that we are always ready. And it's like anything else, you ride a bike or, you know, you shoot trap. If you do it often, you're still in good regular practice on it. If you do it once a year, not so much.
Trial tested, trial ready. KLZ's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesh. Call today for a free, no obligation consultation. 303-806-8886. Flesh and Beck Law, they get results.
Got a road trip plan for getting ready for your next outdoor adventure? Hi, this is Scott Watley for my friends at D&D Tire Service. At D&D Tire Service in Parker and Aurora, they understand automotive issues can be a headache, and they never come at a convenient time. D&D Tire Service is family-owned and operated and is truly your one-stop shop for all of your automotive needs. All tires are reduced, and for a limited time, there are some great rebates saving you up to $200. From belts to tires, wiper blades, oil changes, D&D Tire Service has you covered. For the location nearest you, call 303-699-7337. That's 303-699-7337. D&D Tire Service is the official auto repair shop of Sportsman of Colorado Radio. Let D&D Tire Service keep you and your family safe on the roads. DndTireservice.com.
Rush to Reason with John Rush. Weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. If you're just joining us, my name is Scott Wadley. Glad to have Dan Muir in that co-host saddle once again.
It's a blast. I love being
great
here.
To see you.
This is my old chair. I'm looking out at Havana where there's no cars,
absolutely,
which is really weird.
And Casper Stockham is with us, and we're going to give you a little bit more information at the end of the show again how you can help Casper out. But we're going to go to the phones now. We are practicing our social distancing at its best here, more than 6 feet apart. Greg Lopez. Greg is running for governor here for 2022, and I'm going to do my best to help Greg and make Polis a one-term governor, Dan.
I like the sound of that.
Yep.
I
absolutely
really like the sound of that, Scott.
Mr. Lopez, how are you, sir?
Good. How you doing, Scott? It's great to be on your show today.
Hey, thank you so much for being with us. Dan Muir's here with us, and also Casper said he wanted to hang here with us a little bit, too. So we're just going to have a little roundtable discussion. So since our last show a week or so ago, wow, a lot has changed. So just give us some of your opening thoughts here of where we are today in our state.
You know, it really is something else. You know, I mean, the world as we know it is changing. You know, and I don't know that that's a good thing. You know, with everything that's happened since the coronavirus made its ugly appearance, you know, Lisa and I are really concerned about what the elected officials and healthcare experts have been doing and trying to combat this, right? I mean, one of the things that I look at is, you know, happiness is something that we all hope for, we all strive to achieve, and, you know, happiness in our lives, it comes in kind of like in a three-legged stool, you know, and I look at it, you know, if you're going to be happy in your life with your family and so forth, you really need to focus on three different distinct health areas. One is our physical health, one's our mental health, and the other is our economic health. And we're really concerned that, you know, they're focusing way too much on only the physical health and abandoning the other two. And, you know, Scott, one of the things that I look at it, you know, it's like it seems like that moral panic has really taken hold in our state and throughout our country. And I'm wondering, you know, I'm a reader and I like to read, and you probably heard this, you know, the opening lines of The Tale of Two Cities. You know, it starts with, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom, it was the age of foolishness. I'm wondering where we're going to be when all this settles down. You know, what will people remember of this coronavirus?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Greg, this is Casper. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How you doing, sir?
Good. I'm doing well, doing well. So you're running for governor against Polis, and he's made some very questionable decisions over the past few weeks, for sure. Is there anything that really sticks out to you that you would maybe do differently or think we should look at when it comes to some of his decisions?
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, as I've mentioned to a lot of people, Casper, you know, I've been in the room before where there's a lot of people giving you a lot of information, trying to, you know, provide you with data and models and forecasts, and they're asking you to, you know, make a decision, you know, and if you don't really slow down and look at the whole situation in its totality, you may make decisions that you're going to start down the wrong path, and most elected officials have a fear of letting people know that they made a mistake and trying to pull it back. You know, one of the things that I look at is, you know, the crisis or the number of people that have been impacted in Colorado, you don't see them in every county. They're not scattered throughout the 64 counties. And so why would you shut down an economic engine of a small community that truly relies on the velocity of money within their community, you know, because something's happening in the urban corridor? I think, you know, too many times people make too many drastic decisions. They don't really look at individual situations. I would have taken it a little bit more cautiously. I would have taken a little bit more aspect of looking to working with the county commissioners, working with the local jurisdictions, and getting their input as to how do they feel about their economy, how do they feel about their people, you know, because once again, decisions are being made along the urban corridor that are destroying a lot of the livelihoods across the other 64 counties. And I just don't think that's the right approach.
You know, Greg, I agree with you. I think this should have been done more on a local level, maybe even on a city level, city, county, and then up to the state. Because, you know, let's just take, you know, all roads lead to Lyman. Let's take Lyman, for example.
Right.
What would be going on out there where they would need to shut everything down? How many people even live there? What are the chances of getting this thing? But now we're shutting everything down there where you can't own, let's just say, the mom and pop shoe store or whatever it might be. You can't open it right now. You may have only had a half a dozen people come in a day anyway. And why wouldn't you just say, hey, you know, I'm only going to let, you know, as a store owner, I'm only going to let one family in at a time and we'll get this thing handled. Why couldn't they have done something like that?
That's what they should have done. Look, mm-hmm. You should allow business owners and the public to mitigate their situations. You know, government does for everything that happens. And for those that believe government knows what's best for everyone, I would ask them to rethink that position, because will not necessarily take into consideration individuals and communities. They look at, you know, what is the biggest decision we can make that has the biggest splash, that has the biggest media coverage, so that we look like we're doing something. And I totally agree with you. You know, I mean, I really feel that moral panic has set in, because, you know, they're telling people now that, you know what, you got to stay at home because you could kill somebody. You know, you could be out there and you don't know it, but you're going to kill your grandfather, you're going to kill someone else. And that's not necessarily something that is proven. You know, we need to focus on solving the disease or the infection, not talking about how we're going to control the lives of other people, and specifically their economic well-being, their health. You know, and that's what I'm saying. Look, there are three areas that we need to focus in on as a society, and that is physical health, mental health, and economic health. And right now, the mental health issue is starting to rise up. I'm hearing a lot of people calling me and saying, hey, my kids are starting to get depressed. I'm having anxieties. They're not sleeping. We're not eating well, because they're not being able to function in a normal capacity. One of the other things that I really question is, why did we move so quickly? Yeah. Why did we go from one step to the next within 5-7 days? We never allowed the mindset of the Coloradans to adjust to what was happening. And that really just goes to show that, you know, too many people are feeling that they have all the answers on behalf of everybody else across
the country. You know, just to play the devil's advocate here just a little bit, you know, I think Italy scared the crap out of them. I think when they saw what was going on there, and the amount of, you know, how fast the hospitals filled up, the fact that they couldn't treat anything else but the virus, people, you know, basically dying left, right. Now, I don't know how much of that was media hype, but I really think that was like, hey, we can't have that happen here.
Yeah.
And I think that was a lot of why they did what they did.
Yeah. You're absolutely correct, Dan, but they didn't tell the whole story. What they didn't tell you is that Italy is the size of Arizona, and that a huge amount of their population is over the age of 75. They're one of the oldest population country in the world. And when you look at who's died, and I'm not, you know, demeaning the numbers, but you got to look, they didn't tell you who were the patients that mm-hmm. were coming forward, you know, and it's the older population.
Yeah.
And so America is not like Italy. You know, we have a lot of vast states, a lot of open space, a lot of great medical facilities, a lot of great responses, you know, from our technology and so forth. We're now starting to see, you know, the full engine of our economic strength when it comes to dealing with these types of things. And so I totally agree with you. We fell into that trap. Look what happened to Italy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, the other thing of it is, too, is when you watch the media today, you know, they're really pounding on the fact that the United States now has the most cases, reported cases. We're also the country that also probably has done the most testing.
Right.
So we've done the most testing. We've done it the fastest. So obviously, we're going to have the most cases. However, when you look at it per capita, we're number 26 in the world. So that means we are doing a good job of containing this. We're doing a good job of fighting this. And quite frankly, you guys are right. We need to have an end game as to how to get out of this. And I think, once again, if this proves anything, it's got to prove that capitalism and the free market system, especially in healthcare, is what really pulled us through. Because if we had a socialized healthcare, could you imagine the turmoil we would be in right now trying to follow all the government rules of socialist healthcare?
I mean, this is really what, you know, it's kind of, if you want to take a glimpse into the future of what socialism would look like, this is it. And I hope this is as close as we get,
because
it is a scary visual.
Right.
So people to realize that, wait a minute, I can't go to the grocery store now and find the product that I was looking for that I've always seen there, you know, and now it's gone. And now, you know, even the Home Depot is only allowing 100 people at a time into the store. But see, that's the interesting thing, right? They allowed Home Depot to mitigate how they were going to handle within their store, which I think that's great. But why didn't they allow small business to do that?
Yeah,
exactly.
Why didn't they allow the heart and soul of the economic engine of a community to do that as well?
Right, right. And now they're using New York. They replaced Italy with New York now. So, you know, New York is the standard. So they want Trump to do sweeping regulations that affect the entire nation based upon what's happening in New York. And to your point, you know, that's not how you should handle this.
No, I mean, you know, leaders should be able to speak clearly to the public and recognize that every geographical area is different. You know, and we see it time and time again. They neglect to think about the people that live in rural Colorado. They neglect to think about people that have, you know, a different way of engaging and solving problems. And so, you know, my number one question right now, and I don't think anybody has the answer, is how are we going to get out of this? How are we going to stop government from starting to get comfortable and taking away our liberties and taking away our freedoms? Because now they're starting to track us on cell phones. Now they're starting to track to see what we're doing because they're concerned that we're not following their rules and their regulations. And that is not America.
No, that's
that
a police state.
That is not what we stand for.
Yeah. No. That's China.
You know what's going to stop? What's going to stop them is the lack of tax revenue. That's going to
It's going to stop the states. You know, the states aren't like the federal government, where the federal government could just print its own currency. The states still have to somehow raise the money. Fortunately, they don't have the ability to print their own. If they did, could you imagine the total control that states would have if they could print their own currency?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's why they stopped them from doing it.
Yeah.
You know, and even now, right, the thing is that they're saying they're doing all this for public safety, for public health, you know. But at the same time, they're creating this panic, this moral panic amongst society that says, I can't even speak to this anymore. I can't even go and sit next. I can't even go to church.
Right.
I mean, some of our religious, you know, our constitutional rights are now being taken away from us because of this public health objective. And instead of focusing on solving and identifying a cure, they're looking at what can we do to society and the day-to-day lives to see if perhaps, and you've noticed, I always say probability, it seems like it's helping. We think it's going to flatten the curve. There is never any absolutes about what they're doing.
Yep.
And we all know they're going to extend these deadlines.
Oh, yeah.
This extension that the mayor did to April 30th, watch, is going to go into May.
Oh, absolutely. My brother-in-law is a pastor in Virginia, and they just went to June the 7th. And I think we're going to be there with the next one. And I think if they would have came out and said, you know, June or July, we'd have seen, you know, everything go crazy. So they're just saying, hey, if we just do it every 2 or 3 weeks and keep bumping it, that's
well, could you
happen.
Imagine somebody telling you, oh, guess what? You get to stay home for the next 6 months. Are you kidding me?
My dog is so happy, but that's about it.
Well, look, guys, we all recognize we're dealing with something we've never dealt with before. We all got to recognize that. You know, and at the end of the day, we should take it slow. We should be cautious, not overreaching, not overextending, you know, authority of government to try to do. Because here's the deal. It's kind of like the weatherman, right? If he says it's going to rain and it doesn't rain, well, it's not a big deal. At least he thought it was going to rain. If they don't get the number of people that they claim are going to die or be hospitalized, they're going to claim, see, we did such a great job that we didn't achieve the numbers that we told you we were going to achieve. And we will never know the truth of that.
Right, right.
You know, in all fairness, we would never have known the truth either had we done nothing at all.
Yeah.
So, you know, we just don't know how to pinpoint that. However, I really like your idea that we should have, you know, as we were doing this, we should have taken it slow. We should have picked out certain industries, maybe like the hospitality industry. Hate to pick on them, but a crowded nightclub is probably not a really good idea right now. But however, there's other businesses that could have kept running. People could have practiced, you know,
sure,
keeping apart,
well,
staying
Greg,
clean. Those
Greg did a
things.
Show with me, you know, a week or so ago, and we were talking about this. We're saying, hey, you know, if you got a 100 for the capacity, 50.
Right.
You got 50, do 25.
Right.
You know, we could have done something like that very easy.
Yeah, and if you're sick, stay at home.
To make thermometers, you know, you could have tested people or whatever to see if they had a fever. At the end of the day, right, we shut down our economic engine without allowing it on its own for business owners to solve the situation gradually. You know, and if we would have set benchmarks, and I've talked to people about this, right, it's kind of like the fire warning system or an alert system. You have 5 different stages. You know, stage 1, we're not doing much. We just need you to wash your hands. We need you to make sure you don't touch your face. If we reach X cases in your community, in your county, then maybe you want to go to phase 2. You know, limit the hours. Limit how often you're going to be open. Maybe you don't open on Sundays. Maybe you don't open on the weekends. You know, whatever. But we never had a plan, and we still don't have a plan.
Yeah. I want to know, what are the numbers? What numbers are they looking at so we can start getting back to normal? What, you know, are they looking at? I just need a number.
You think it's like how many are getting infected or how many deaths? I mean, what are we trying to gauge everything by?
Yeah. How do we know
that we're turning the clock back?
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
That's basically a great question. How do we know when it's time to get back into society and living our normal lives without any fear that someone's going to get sick and they're going to end up dead?
Right. Because
I mean, it's amazing to me how all of a sudden, if you get it, the perception in people's minds is you're going to end up dead.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. See, because right now there are still more people dying from the flu than from coronavirus.
Right.
So, you know, so how do we, so is the number 1 corona death per month or something? You know, what is that number? Just tell me what that number is so we can start getting back to normal.
Well, it's like Jesper says, you know, and I don't know if anybody's got that number, but what is it? 4,000 across the entire country currently has coronavirus? 4,000. You know, last year alone in the flu, there was 35 million people that got the flu.
Yeah. Well, there's 4,000 who have died.
Yeah, there's over 100,000 cases of the coronavirus right now.
100,000.
Right.
Yeah. There you go.
So, but you know, what was I going to say? I the thing that gives me some hope, though, is the fact that we have President Trump.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
if
sure.
we had a
Thank
politician,
God for President Trump.
If we had a politician, a power-hungry Hillary Clinton in the White House right now, America would never recover.
Oh,
America
man.
Would never come back. And the one thing I like about Trump is his passion to get things started again. You know, first he wanted Easter. Well, it doesn't look like that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But he's putting it out there saying, we are going to get back to normal. We are going to turn this thing back around. I don't think you would have that if you would have had a Democrat president.
No,
right
for
now.
Sure.
Yeah. No, we wouldn't. We know that. Because remember what Obama used to say. This is a new norm. This is a new norm.
Yeah.
On the GDP. You're like, you'll never see it over 1%. Excuse me?
And, Greg, here's one thing, you know, and we've talked about this, and we're going to continue to do this throughout the the year with you is, you know, you're a small business guy. I mean, you understand this, you know this inside and out, and you know what it means to each of us that are trying to run a business. And, you know, maybe we don't even have an employee. You're just trying to, you know, run your business and pay your bills and all that kind of thing. I mean, it does not take long for this just to crush somebody's, you know, wallet and crush their spirit.
That's right. It doesn't. Look, you know, one thing about that a lot of people don't understand about a small business owner is that they carry a lot on their shoulders. They wear a lot of different hats. Oftentimes, they wear all the hats: accounting, marketing, business development, you know, payroll, HR, everything. And so it doesn't take much for a small business to find themselves in a crisis situation. You know, I've said this before, you know, being the former director of here in Colorado of the Small Business Administration, when corporate America sneezes, small business catches pneumonia. When you shut down the economy the way you're doing it now, you pretty much have put small business on a life supporting system that you can pull the plug at any time and they won't know what happened. You know, even the stimulus package that's being forward, I mean, it's something that we need to do, but we also need to be cognizant about how are we going to re-engage small business and more importantly, the consumer confidence to be able to go out there and enjoy a meal, go out there and go to the movies, and go out there and spend your money. And small business, you know, they're always looking 6 months into the future. You know, small business, nothing different than any individual household.
Sure.
You know, I tell people, look, the way you run your household oftentimes is the way you run your business. If you don't have a nest egg in your household because you're planning for a rainy day, you probably don't have that in your business because you're doing it's the same mindset, except it's just a bigger number. It's a bigger operation.
Mm-hmm.
And so small business is struggling right now. Yeah, and I don't know how many of the small businesses are even going to want to open up again if they have the ability.
Well, you were part of the Small Business Administration, and part of the biggest problem about being a small business, you're almost like the forgotten person, especially in something like this,
yep.
To where there's plans for the average worker to get unemployment or whatever. Then there's the bailouts for the big corporations. But as a small business, the amount of time it's going to take to go through, jump through all the hoops, to go through the SBA process and whatever to get your small business loan, hopefully, and try to get operating again after something like this, it's slim to none that you can survive long enough to jump through all those hoops.
You know, it's tough. Look, I had a good friend of mine call me and talk to me, and he says, Greg, I've spent 20 years building my company. 20 years. And in the last 3 weeks, I'm seeing it vanish.
Mm-hmm.
How am I going to rebuild 20 years once we start this? And I don't even know when it's going to happen.
Sure.
Relationships are going to be gone.
And it's
right?
Not, yeah. And you know what? It's not just 20 years of building your business and your name, but man, employees.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, you have spent thousands of dollars training employees and you know, finding those right people that
yep.
make help you make your company. And now, you know, I mean, that just has been a gut-wrenching thing, I'm sure, for a lot of owners that have had to look at people that have been with them, you know, ever how long,
yeah.
And say, man.
Look, guys, I mean, we can't forget, you know, we can't just go from the physical health, the economic health. The mental health issue
yeah.
is one that we really can ignore, you know, because that is where the real crises are going to show up as it pertains to, you know, what is happening in families. What is the impact that this is having in households, in kids, you know, in marriages? In relationships, you know, it is a very difficult thing to be dealing with, but we can't just focus on the physical health. We also need to be cognizant about the mental health and the economic health.
Yeah.
It's the three-legged stool.
Yeah.
You know, you can't survive with only one of them.
I can't imagine any stimulus package the government can do now or even in the future that would save us other than getting this economy open back up again. I mean, you know, they could print money or whatever, but eventually that's not going to solve the problem. It's only going to just prolong it. You know, it's going to stretch it out, but it's not going to solve anything.
No, it's not. You know what? And right now I think we're losing that window of opportunity where if you said go, people would eagerly jump out there and reengage and call their contacts,
yeah.
get more contacts. I mean, they'd be out there.
Sure.
You allow this to continue longer, it's kind of like the unemployment, right? After a while, people stop looking. They stop looking for work.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the same thing's going to happen. If we don't open this up, people are going to not even want to think about reengaging their business.
Absolutely. So, Greg, Governor, for 2022 sounds like a long ways away, but you know what? It's going to be here before we know it, and I think you are very wise in getting your name out and your message out, and that's why, man, I love doing these shows with you. But how can people help you, sir?
You know, just like Casper, you know what I mean? Right now we're focused on 2020, and so I would ask everybody, you know, focus on Casper, focus on the 2020 elections, and if you can, you know, it's not too far away to look at 2022. Go to LopezForGovernor2022.com. Make a donation. Commit to do a $10, $15 monthly donation to the campaign. Let's make Governor Polis a one-term governor. Let's bring Colorado back to what Colorado stands for. And that's how you can do that. You're going to hear more of me. I'm going to be out there more aggressively talking to people. But we got to come together, folks, because this is a time where the Americans, the people have to step forward and tell government, enough. You can't cross the line, because they're starting to really encroach on our liberties and our freedoms.
Yes, sir. Well, Greg, hey, sir, we appreciate it very much, and we look forward to our next show with you, sir.
All right, you guys take care.
All right, that's Greg Lopez, Lopez for Governor 22. Follow him on Facebook as well, and go to LopezForGovernor22.com and do that donation. As we all know, Polis will spend some money.
Yes, he will.
And so we need to help Mr. Lopez. All right. And Greg's doing a big deal. I think it was 12,500 people. They did $10 a month for 24 months. That was $3 million.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So
it works.
Let's help him out. All right. Casper, your closing comments, sir.
We have to get this economy going again. I don't see any other way out of this other than to do that. Now, we can do it in stages. We can do it slowly. We can ease our way back into it. But we've got to start. Waiting 30 days. First of all, let me say this. I am excited that President Trump is at the helm of this situation right now, because if he wasn't, we'd be in worse trouble. But unfortunately, waiting 30 days from now, it's going to be a tough road to get back. So we're out here in the fight. We're still doing everything we can to make sure that we make Ed Perlmutter, put him into retirement. In order to do that, we have to mount a very effective campaign. So we need resources. We need volunteers, all that. So go to Casper for Colorado. It's the word for, F-O-R, Colorado.com. We need your help. We need your support.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. Pleasure to have you in.
Thank you, Scott.
All right, and your daughter, Faith, as well. Dan?
Hey, Scott, this was fun.
Great
Thanks for inviting
you,
me. This All was
right.
a blast. Thanks.
Thank you for joining us today for Haystack Help Radio. Be sure and check out our website, haystackhelpradio.com. You'll find our referral list there and all of our podcasts as well. Hope you have a great rest of your day. Leave right here on KLZ 560.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.